Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Are you looking forward to reading some good books this summer? We have Daniel Golden back with us to share some of his favorites. He's the owner of Boswell Book Company in Milwaukee and comes by every few months to give us his thoughts and recommendations on what we might like to read. And it's great to have him back. What book would you like to recommend from your summer reading list? What genre do you prefer to read in summer? You can be part of the conversation. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Daniel Golden, welcome back. Great to have you with us once again.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
How are things going at Boswell Books?
Oh, chugging along. So, you know, obviously the last couple of days with the smoke air quality, which has hit the whole state and the whole region, really, you know, kind of slows things down in terms of people getting out. But in general, we slow down we actually almost have a vacation from the programming for... We have a couple of things going on this week, but most, you know, that through the 4th of July holiday.
Yeah.
So that's good. It gives us a time to catch up and start getting ready for fall.
So what makes a good summer read?
Yeah, that's interesting that you should say. I was thinking about that. Ha, funny. I've been thinking about that myself. I have no idea. But I do think there is some cliches about beach reading and suspense and nonfiction that's more narrative than, you know, I have this random dividing it up into narrative nonfiction stories and surveys and platforms. And I did, so for example, wonderful, amazing book, but I didn't put Poverty by America on the list by Matthew Desmond because I thought more of an argument book. And but I could see a lot of people reading it, but I didn't put it on my list for it because
okay.
I was like, no, this doesn't, feels like a different talk. So I think that's it. You know, a lot of genre. And I'm better at, so I'm pretty good at mysteries and thrillers. I'm not as good. I'm trying to get better. I read a lot of romance adjacent things, but not firmly adjacent. And as I was mentioning to you, another book that speculative books get me, my brain doesn't work that way. And that's bad because let me just say, you know, the fantasy and horror and those are exploding, you know, like that's what a lot of my booksellers read. Next time you can have somebody who could just talk for an hour about you know, fantasy. I know that a lot of people would say the book of the summer seems to be a book called Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros. It's sort of a grown-up variation on Harry Potter and nobody can find it anywhere. And we had people calling us from all over. I mean, not just local, but, you know, it's that point where there's no copies, physical copies, till the middle of July. And people are, you know, crazily trying to get it because of the buzz. So, you know.
Well, we have a kind of we have a book that I'd like to promote.
Right, oh, yeah.
Right off the bat. And it's The Art of the Break. And this is a shameless plug here. And Mary Wimmer's book.
Oh, yeah. She's wonderful.
Yeah. And it's our book of the, it's our book club book. And I think it's August 24th, Mary's going to appear on the show. And we're going to talk about The Art of the Break, which is, it's about maturing and letting go and moving forward. And it involves cheese making.
And you told me that you're having, you're going, I mean, obviously this is radio, but you're doing, having the event a really great cheese tie-in kind of
We'll be in Paoli, and we don't have all the plans set for that, but we will be in Paoli and interviewing Mary there, and folks will be able to come and sit in and watch and probably eat a little cheese.
That is amazing. I love it.
Well, let's get to your list. You've got a list of 20. The first one, by the way, are they in any particular order?
You know, I have, you'll find that I group a couple together sometimes.
Yeah.
I notice that you never think that you're you never think that you're reading in thematically, but I find that there are so many variations, like so many books that tie together.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I was looking at my narrative, like the historical narrative nonfiction, because I know, you know, David Grand's very popular with The Wager right now, and people have, there's glimpses that there's going to be a new Eric Larson, I think, next spring, which everybody's salivating about. So I had picked one of my very favorite books of this spring has been A Fever in the Heartland by Timothy Egan.
And that's your first book.
That is my first, coincidentally. And it is, Timothy Egan is a longtime writer. He's been writing since the 90s. He won a Pulitzer Prize for his reporting work. He's written about all kinds of historical stories as well as his own story. But this is, might be one of his best-selling books since he's been writing. It is about the second coming of the Ku Klux Klan in the 1920s. What a lot of people don't know is that the center of this revival was not in the South, but in the Midwest and West. And there was, including Wisconsin, including Illinois, but particularly in the Midwest and Indiana, to this extent that the state was almost taken over by the Klan. And so this is the story of the leader of the movement, whose name was D.C. Stevenson, or Steve, who almost ran the state like a mob fiefdom.
Wow.
And it's an amazing story. And it ties into one, the case of the murder case that brought him down. So it's got the crime element that people like. It's packed with history. It's really fast paced.
Love the sound of that book. Book two is also set in the 20s.
It is.
But in China.
And it's also about a crime. And it also, I'm sure people are like hearing that Timothy Egan, I'm like, I wonder if that has present day parallels. Well, this story also has some present day parallels. It's called The Peking Express. It's a much more, it was published much more quietly than, so not as many people know it. The author is named James Zimmerman. He's a lawyer in China, or has been in China and also California. And it is about this one case in 1924, I believe a year after the Shanghai to Peking, Beijing Railroad.
Mm-hmm.
The Orient Express of sorts,
right,
was held up by bandits, and a number of people were taken hostage for weeks. And this was partly to get the money, but also partly because these were soldiers, disgruntled soldiers who had lost their positions. Among the hostages were Lucy Aldrich, the sister-in-law of John D. Rockefeller, and Giuseppe Musso, who was an associate of Mussolini, as well as the publisher of the China Daily. And so the thing about the story is it's a fascinating story, but there's also a lot of documentation because many people went free and they wrote their memoirs. And so I think he spent 20 years going through the notes for this, for a pretty exciting story about what happened and how it may have presaged the fall of the Republic of China. And when I was reading the book, I was actually thinking about the Wagner Group and what happened in Russia right now. And you can see some of the parallels to that story as well.
That sounds amazing. Is it just chance that the so many books are set in the 20s now?
I don't know. I mean, I think there was a lot of stuff going on, and it was a time of change. You know, it's the time between the wars, World War I and World War II, and I think the world was thrown into flux. And this is the case in this story, too, because the area that this takes place in had been under Japanese occupation, and the Japanese were pushed out, but they wanted to get back in. There is some thought, he doesn't really go into it much, but he hints that it's possible that their Japanese were at least knowledgeable about this, because most of the Japanese passengers got out the stop before The train was abducted. I'll just give you the New York Times review was from Paul Theroux, which is a good comparison.
Yeah.
He liked it. He didn't like some of the language. For example, Ms. Zimmerman used the word schlep, which irritated him. I'm like, I used the word schlep. It's okay by me.
But that sounds fascinating. It's another one for my list. The third book has a great name. I love the name, Pineapple Street.
So the Fruit Streets are a very important neighborhood in Brooklyn Heights. This is a lot of people. This is much like the Peking Express. This is a lot about some pretty wealthy people. It is a novel. It's a family novel. And a lot of people start, you know, going back as far as Edith Wharton, have written about the wealthy folk of Manhattan. I really thought it was fascinating to, you know, Brooklyn has always been sort of the Overlook Borough. Now it's, you know, it's where all writers live and it's the place to be. But the fact is there was a lot of old money in Brooklyn. And this is about a very wealthy family and their three children and how they kind of, it's a comedy. It's a family comedy. There was a book called The Nest several years ago that it reminded me of. But it's about how each of the characters sort of confronts and deals with their wealth as well. What's interesting about the story is like money begets money. So the family got their money in perhaps unsavory ways. But the most recent way they did it was by redeveloping the Jehovah's Witnesses complex that was in Brooklyn. And like when I was young and we would go from Queens where I lived into Manhattan, you would pass the huge Watchtower building. I mean, this was some of the most valuable land in New York and it was run by this group and they basically sold it. And so this the backstory, the factual part of it is there are all these tunnels underneath connecting the buildings. It's a really funny book. One of the things I really love that I learned from reading about the book is Jenny Jackson, who's also an editor, a wonderful editor, like Emily St. John Mandel. She edited Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow, which I think I talked about last time. She said, this is told Lazy Susan style. And now I'm obsessed with that, where you have a rotating cast of characters who tell the story. I think there's four main people, mostly the two kids and the young woman who's married into the family who is not wealthy. She is sort of the everyman, every person that you kind of identify with the most in the story.
Daniel Golden, our guest today, he is the owner of Boswell Book Company in Milwaukee. And he's got a list of 20. The first three sound really good. Summer reading for your pleasure, and you can join in. Maybe you've got a book you would like to suggest or maybe a question for Daniel. I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us at ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Jill Nadeau is our producer today, Lee Rayburn, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Thanks so much for joining in on the Ideas Network today. It's always fun to talk with Daniel Golden, owner of Boswell Book Company in Milwaukee, one of the great bookstores in our state. And he has a summer reading list for us. 20 books we've talked about. Three of them already. Again, you can join in at 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. Mike in Superior has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. I've got two books. One is called Killing of the Flower Moon. It's about the Osage tribe in Oklahoma when oil was discovered. Rights were being taken from, and 20, 25, 30 Osage Indians were murdered. And it's a fascinating story and it's tragedy, but I think it's going to come out as a motion picture in the near future. But the second book is called The Soldier's Truth, and it's about the World War II reporter named Ernie Pyle, who would be the the Walter Cronkite of the Second World War, The Soldier's Truth. I'm reading it right now, and amazing what this person did to help support the Second World War troops, and I just wanted to pass those two along.
Mike, thank you so much. Daniel?
Well, we were talking, actually, those first two books are great for this reader. The Wager is David Graham's new book and is doing very well. It's very different, but it's also historical. And then the other thing I wanted to say was that Timothy Egan, one of his most popular former books is called Short Nights of the Shadow Catcher, The Epic Life and Immortal Photographs of Edward Curtis, who was the famous photographer of Indigenous people, who had actually was also very close friends with a lot of people in the community and was well respected within it. In terms of that Ernie Pyle book is brand new and is I've heard is really great. And so I'm excited about that. We had been talking about reading about historical fiction as well as nonfiction. And one of my favorite books of the spring is a historical World War II novel. There's so many of them, and I get it. But this is a little different. It's by Luis Alberto Urrea, who has really always written about the Mexican-American border. He was shortlisted for the Pulitzer for his or maybe National Book Award for his reporting book. He's written family novels, magical realism. But this is a book about that's inspired by his mother, who was a what they called a donut dolly, which was one of the women who volunteered for the Red Cross and would serve coffee and donuts to the soldiers. They were not supposed to be on the front lines, but they wound up on the front lines. And they were volunteers. It's kind of amazing. And it's about two women. I think their names are Irene and Dorothy. And there's always another person in the truck with them. But she can't get in the way of these women. There's romance. There's a lot of history. But in the end, it's a really amazing friendship story and very powerful.
And the title again?
The book's called Good Night, Irene by Luis Alberto Urrea. I would say for the first time.
Well, we have, we have a lot of books to go through. Let's go to Paper Names. It's about immigration, isn't it?
It is. And I will just do the introduction by saying that one of the books on my list you've actually already done in the show, Saturday Nights at the Lakeside Supper Club by Jane Ryan Straddle, a wonderful Midwest book about supper clubs and Wisconsin-style supper clubs in Minnesota. And I love Straddle. I've read all his books. And one of the things I really love about him is how he helps other writers, new writers, find an audience and recommends them. And Susie Law, who is immigrated from China as a child, has written, this is her first novel. She didn't go through writing school. She was actually a lawyer and an investment banker before she wrote this book that she wrote during COVID when she was, you know, able to, she basically used her commuting time to write. And it is about two families. Once again, a lot of wealth here. A wealthy white family who has some secrets and an immigrant Chinese family who were very well educated, but actually have to start again when they come to the United States. And the father starts as like a handy person and then becomes a door person.
Yeah.
And in that, he sort of helps out when a woman is attacked. And they befriend this wealthy man who becomes their benefactor. And each of them have to confront the fact of the American dream. You know, they're both sort of trying to live it, but they realize that they are not going to live it. It is not going to get what they want. And they are going to have to make some morally ambiguous decisions in order to get through. I thought the writing was great. I also, one thing that I've noticed is a lot of books I'm reading are about sort of renaming. I mean, and sometimes that's because it's immigrant stories and they take on different names. But sometimes I've just read a book called Dr. No. It's not on the list because it's from last year, but it was like a spy parody and everybody's got these different names and identities. It's kind of a play on the Ian Fleming series, but it's very different. His name is Percival Everett, and that wasn't on the list. I love that Susie Law told me that her name was, she had a Chinese name, and I'm a terrible at pronunciation. It was something like Xinjin. And one of her, when they came to Queens, one of their neighbors, she grew up actually, I walked by her neighborhood when I was young, basically said, "Oh, Susan," and renamed her Susan. And then she then renamed herself Susie later. And that's something you think, well, that's an immigrant story. But no, I actually was renamed by my first grade teacher. And then again by my first boss. They like changed my name because they didn't like what my name was. Isn't that, I mean, you think about it and think, wow, that's kind of nuts, but it happened.
And Jay Ryan actually recommended this book to you.
He actually recommended it. And on the advance copy that goes to booksellers, it had the big quote, like, "You got to read this book. It's amazing." And then by the time the book came out, they got a quote from Adriana Trigiani, and they said, well, maybe that's the front cover, so Jay Ryan can go on the back. Adriana Trigiani is also a wonderful writer, and I also value her recommendations, so that's so, okay.
So, Jay Ryan straddles book, as you say, Saturday Night at the Lakeside Supper Club. He is a really nice guy and so much fun to talk to.
He has the biggest heart. He is actually probably still doing this. He does these tours of small libraries all throughout Minnesota and Wisconsin, and he'll cobble together. So like if somebody gives him, he'll make sure that there's enough money. Like he can visit a bookstore if he goes to a library and stuff like that. He just loves it. He loves meeting people. He's one of the warmest people. And I recommend, like, Kitchens of the Great Midwest, Lager Queen of Minnesota. They're all great.
They're all great books. Well, here we are at number 7, then.
6 and 7 go together.
Seven go together.
So what I had was, I decided I'm on a roll. I said that I was going to read one kid's book a month because I felt like I had fallen short. And what I found, and I don't count picture books because I can read them in 10 minutes. I will say if you're looking for a really fun picture book, there's a new book called Wombat that I really like. It's a great read aloud. It's got a lot of rhyming. It's very silly. And it's very Australian. So maybe it won't do that well here. But wombats are, maybe they're the next koala or kangaroo. We're all going to go wombat crazy. And then you'll say it was due to this book. So, but I find that my sweet spot is middle grade. I love the 8 to 12. There was just a report that middle grade books are struggling. There isn't really a series taking over. So I would like to say I'm going to try to help middle grade books. I love them that they're a little more innocent than YA books. And they cover a lot of things that really connect with adulthood. So the kid's book I read that I'm recommending is called Ginny Off the Map by Carolyn Hickey. It's about a young girl whose family says, hey, we're moving to a new town. And she doesn't like the change, which is always a little tough. But then what they don't tell her when they get there is like, oh, by the way, your dad is being posted to Afghanistan too. Oh, and by the way, that wonderful geography camp, because the book's called Ginny Off the Map. She loves geography. That camp is full, so you have to go to jewelry camp. And by the way, the STEM school that you were going to go to, oh, you're waitlisted for that too. So this is a young girl who's struggling to make friends, to fit in. She might be a little on the spectrum. The book has lots of geography facts in them, lots of geography facts. And as a kid who, on my way to summer camp, would sit with my friend Glenn and we would quiz each other on state capitals, I really identified with this story. But it is, it isn't necessarily about grieving, but it's sort of about grieving because your dad is going off to war and that sort of like brings in the grief. So it's a lovely book. Kirkus had this wonderful review that said there has to be more books like this. This is like what we need in fiction. So Then I transitioned to an adult book called Pieces of Blue by Holly Goldberg Sloan. She is a kids writer. This is her first book for adults. She did actually write the screenplay. She's very connected in Hollywood. She's a screenwriter too. She wrote the screenplay for Angels in the Outfield, if you remember that.
Yeah, oh yes.
And her most popular book is a young YA book called Counting by Sevens that one of my former colleagues told me she rereads every year. And this is her first adult book, but it feels like a kid's book, a middle grade book for adults, because it's about a family whose the father's died and the mother uses the insurance money to buy a falling down motel in Hawaii. And she moves the kids and they really struggle to fit in because they're not tourists and they're not natives. And by the way, the motel's in much worse shape than they thought and they're not very handy. Fortunately, one of the guests who tried to arrive, they're not really ready for open, who lost his wife and visits every year, is very handy and starts helping them out. But so it's about fitting in. It's about grief. It's about trying to make friends. But it's Lazy Susan style. So you're rotating through the characters. But unlike a middle grade book, it has some adult themes. I'm not talking about sex and drugs and stuff. It's just got the twists of a thriller. And in fact, it wound up on the New York Times Beatrice list, and they called it soft suspense. And I would say that, like, you get everything you get out of, like, the best middle grade book, which more adults should read, and you also get the suspense twists. Laura Dave has a book that's really popular in the bestseller list. I would say that's a good comparison. So that's called Pieces of Blue.
Pieces of Blue.
And it's a really, I just want to say, there's some books here, like the quality, physical quality of books is very inconsistent nowadays. People are having trouble getting paper. Mm. Different publishers are kind of not really putting everything into the physical book. This is a really beautiful cover, and it has end papers, which you don't see all the time anymore.
Right.
It's also pretty decent page quality. It doesn't feel like if you lift the book up in the air, it might fly away by itself.
Daniel always brings several of his book selections along with him, and so it's always fun to see those books. And as he talks about them, for sure. You can join in too, by the way. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or you could email us. The email address, ideas@wpr.org. The next book, it's about immigration as well. It sounds a little more lighthearted in a way.
It's a family comedy, yes. It is. It's called Sunshine. What do we have? It's Sunshine Nails by May Nguyen. Yes, it is about another immigrant family from Vietnam who started a nail salon, very popular business for the community. You know, people learn from other people opportunities. And this is, though, the book takes place when there was the expose about mistreatment of the women who worked in the salons and perhaps even trafficking. But this family is a small family business. They do have a relative working and a few other women. And they're not doing that. They're an up and up salon, but the bad press might affect them because a new national chain has moved in across the street.
Oh.
And they're going to take their business. And they're very, you know, the woman who's come in to do the lead is very nice, but she is ruthless. And the story is the Tran family, Debbie and Phil, who are, I believe, are named after. So once again, this is taking different names. They're named after their favorite 70s, 80s rock stars. So that's Phil Collins and Debbie Harry. And their daughter, Jessica, who is sort of the next generation. So she's first gen and she has different ideas and really doesn't want to work in the nail salon. But when it's under siege, maybe she has to come back and save it. It's a really nice book. And you know who I gave it to afterwards? My friend who works owns the nail salon across the street, who's Vietnamese American. And she enjoyed it too. So.
Oh, man. Well, let's see. We've got another book. It's called Paved Paradise.
I've got a little run of nonfiction here.
Yeah. So,
I thought this was a really fascinating book. It came out fairly recently. I love urban planning. I'm just going to say that. I've read a lot of books about building of highways and the interstate program and urban renewal and what that did to communities that were displaced. I've read a lot about road building and how we value often roads over housing. But what I never, and I've also read a lot about parking and cars and how we value that over pedestrians and bicyclists. But what I've never really thought of is how parking really, the focus on parking and planning really affects affordable housing. This is a history. It is a platform book. It's got some interesting stories about it, too. A lot of people know about a legendary guy, Don Shoup, and the Shoupistas, who are the anti-parking activists. And even things that inadvertently, you know, that they never meant to do. Like, I'm sure you know about the parking situation in Chicago, where they sold the parking meters to a private company for way less than they were worth because they never thought about the true value of those parking spaces. But the unintended consequences of that is the parking garages in Chicago are now used, whereas nobody wants to be in a parking garage generally in other cities. It's better to spend 45 minutes looking for a cheap spot on the street. I really found this very entertaining, enjoyable, and also my suspicion is this will be used by communities in the future to affect policy.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, you had another technical kind of book.
Let's see.
Game of Edges.
Oh, Game of Edges. Yes, that is that's an interesting example of another book, Moneyball, which was the story of Billy Beane and the Oakland A's that really did affect, have real life consequences. So the idea of using data in sports, the Bill James, you know, in baseball, he was also very popular with that. But the real practical application was with the Oakland A's. Now, of course, long term, what are they going to be, the Las Vegas A's or something like that? You know, so I was like, oh, well, I guess it didn't work because the fact is that you also need to spend money on this. You can't starve it. But this is the author of Game of Edges, who looks at how the data analysis in sports, what happened after Moneyball, how it came to be applied in basketball, which probably led to the rise of the three-pointer usage, even football and especially soccer, and why this became so popular, partly because as people became interested in buying sports teams, the value of these sports teams skyrocketed. So it wasn't just a car dealer, like a car dealer can't buy a team anymore the way, you know, the Brewers were. And so who buys these teams? Venture capital, people money, and tech billionaires. And what do they have in common? They're obsessed with data. And so, of course, they are going to obsess over this data. And sometimes there are things you could do in basketball, but in some of these sports, it's really hard to figure out what to do with the data. But they try. And the other thing you figure out from this book is when everybody's obsessed with data, somebody else is going to zag when everybody's zigging. And it helps. It may help you, but it isn't the be all and end all. I thought it was really interesting. You think, Daniel, he loves sports books. No, not so good. I get lost. As I used to say, I do read a decent amount of sports books, but whenever they start talking about plays on the field, I sort of get lost. I'm much more interested in the business of sports and the culture of sports. And I thought this was a really interesting take on that.
Amy, the owner of Lion's Mouth Bookstore in Green Bay, is listening and emailed in. She and her staff loved the Rachel incident by Caroline O'Donohue.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that.
Coming-of-age novel set in Ireland, told from the perspective of a talented yet floundering 20-something woman.
My colleague Jenny is obsessed with that book. A really great, coming of age, friendship novel, you know, so I could say, you know, there's some Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow connections, and that's a great friendship novel. There's a bookstore connection because they meet in a bookstore. The author came from YA. She has a YA series that people really like. So it's sort of got that really intense character and emotion that a lot of YA fiction has. I'll have to hook them up together so they can go on about how much they love that book. But it's just out, and I have to give a big shout out to
Amy.
Rachel.
Amy in Lionsmouth also says they're huge fans of Wendy Wimmer's book of short stories called Entry Level, Tales of Characters Trying to Find Their Way Through Underemployment Struggles.
Yes, I was like, are the Wimmers sisters? But they're not. They're just really great Wisconsin writers.
And Still True by Maggie Ginsberg, about a married couple who live in separate houses, and an uninvited guest shows up to turn their idyllic scenario on its head.
Larry, I brought you. Do you have a copy of the Bookstore Roadmap? So this is such a cool thing. They come out with it every year, and it's put out by the Midwest Independent Booksellers Association. And for your bookstore tourism, it is a really beautiful, I mean, frameable map of all the bookstores.
Oh my goodness.
In the Midwest, including the bookstore we're talking about. And here it is up in Green Bay. And they're at most independent bookstores. They come out for Independent Bookstore Day, and so a lot of stores might be out, but there is a puzzle they made out of it, so you can buy the puzzle. And maybe if you're really close friends with you're a really good customer, you can say, hey, do you have one of these maps left? And maybe they'll find one in the back room for you. But you...
I get one?
Get one.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, you know, one of the things that I love to do wherever I go is I love to find the local independent bookstore and go in and I buy a book.
Weren't you just in Bayfield?
Yeah, I was in Bayfield. And so I was at Honest Dog Books, is one of my favorites, and the Apostle Island Bookstore.
Oh, cool.
So I went to both.
What did you get at Honest Dog?
Honest Dog is the, I bought... I think it was Benjamin Percy's book, The Deadlands, because they sell new and used, and so I bought Benjamin Percy's book. Oh, and I think I also bought, which I haven't started reading yet, Buddy Levy's book, Empire of Ice and Stone.
I don't know much about that one. Are you?
I don't know much about it either. It's about it's set way back when a ship is caught in the ice. And there's a native woman that leads them out. We'll see. It's called Empire of Ice and Stone.
Disastrous and Heroic Voyage of the Karluk. Expedition. Another really interesting, nautical expedition book. So I guess there's another trend that seems to be going on. Hey, do you read a lot of thrillers, right?
Oh yeah.
So have you read this All the Sinners Bleed by S.A. Cosby?
No, and when I saw that on your list, I thought, oh, I've got to get a hold of All the Sinners Bleed.
It's so amazing. It is just Cosby, or Sean Cosby, is the most wonderful writer. This is his fourth published book. The first one was at a small press. The next two were, he wrote a caper novel and a revenge novel, both of which were great, Blacktop Wasteland and Razorblade Tears. In those two books, he was almost channeling Elmore Leonard. There's definitely, he has a really great sense of humor. So they're violent, but they're also very funny. And this book is his most straightforward book. He decided, because one of the things that's funny about them is, well, the heroes have a bit of a bent moral compass, I would say. On this book, he tried to come up with the most honorable hero he could find. So it's the sheriff of a small Virginia county. He's the first black sheriff in this county, Titus Crown. And he is going to be the good guy, and he's going to do what's right, and he's not going to bend any rules. And he finds that incredibly difficult. But it isn't quite as funny as the other books, but it is just as good. This guy is in love with writing. He's such a great writer. So it's a serial killer novel, to beware. There's a lot of killing. And he also... there's a school shooting, and there's also the B's, you know how a lot of novels have like the A plot and the B plot, and the B is the life. The B plot is that he's trying to stop a march by white nationalists on the town. The characters are great. The story's great. No other than Stephen King recommended the book.
Yes,
in the New York Times. Yeah. Highly recommend it. I said, no more will I come to this conversation and not have a great thriller for Larry Mueller. So,
all the sinners bleed. Oh, my gosh. Daniel Golden, our guest today, owner of Boswell Book Company in Milwaukee. You can join in. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. And Buddy and Lock to Flambeau, we'll get to you in just a minute, but... I'm Larry Mueller, here to remind you that you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Taking a look at great summer reads for you here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, Daniel Golden, owner of Boswell Book Company in Milwaukee, our guest. And he's come up with a list of 20 books. We've been getting a few suggestions from listeners as we move along, too. And certainly you can join in, 800-642-1234, or email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Buddy in Lac de Flambeau, we'll go to you. Thank you for calling.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, I'm driving around here. I'm a summer resident for the last 45 years up in Lac de Flambeau. I'm a book publisher, a small independent book publisher in Hawaii, and we owned a small bookshop called The Shop. So I wasn't familiar with this part of the program, and I'm over by the side of the road, spellbound, fascinated, and writing notes as fast as I can. And I've been in publishing for 54 years. At any rate, there's a wonderful book my wife and I read this summer. You may have already mentioned it. It's called Yellowface. And it's that's actually a book written by a young Korean woman, about book publishing and cultural appropriation. It's complete fiction, and it's one of our best reads this summer. And I did want to recommend a book that I bought years ago by an author in Minneapolis called Sharks in the Time of Saviors, which takes place in Hawaii. And as part of our book buying program for libraries and our bookstore that opened up just before COVID, I got an advanced reader copy from one of the New York publishers, and I ended up buying 500 copies. Usually we buy three or four at a time. And COVID hit, and our store was more or less closed down. But we just sold the last copy this last year. It's a wonderful book that captures a sense of magic realism about Hawaii after the sugar plantation died, and a lot of the people who worked in that industry had to find new houses, careers, and everything. And then I had a question for you. About a title that I read many, many years ago when I met the author, called Hoods in the Woods, which was written by a Chicago columnist named Tom Hollitz. And I'm looking all over for it and can't find it, and I'm sure it's out of print. But anyway, thank you for the program. It's fascinating. And again, I'm by the side of the road taking notes. And I hope that the 20 book list is on the WPR. We'd love to
go
through that.
It will be, or it may already be. Jill Nadeau, I'm sure, has got that list up.
It's all we were doing yesterday.
You can go to ideas@wpr.org/Larry. And if it's Jill's probably going to let me know here in a minute. Yeah, it's up already. Just let me know that the list is up for anyone who wants the whole list. Buddy, thanks so much.
Thank you, you guys. It's great to hear this. And sitting here in a cloudy area with air conditioning, so it's a good day.
Well, Yellow Face is one of the big books of summer, no question. We've had several people read it in our store. I didn't. Of course, I wasn't able to get an advance copy because it was so hot, you know. Mm. And I think, but he did a very good job of describing it. Kwong had another runaway bestseller not that long ago called Babel, which is sort of in that fantasy thriller, but also talking about Asian American representation and language and appropriation and that kind of thing. This is much more of a, I think there was talk that she was actually going to use a different itineration of her name, maybe Rebecca Kwong instead of Ari Kwong. But Babel was so successful, this is just my guess, that they decided to go with the same name. There's another book that's also about what it's like in publishing. It's interesting because this book sort of draws on two books that were somewhat popular and sort of brings them together. One was called The Plot by Jean F. Corlitz, which doesn't deal with minority representation and diversity, but it is also about taking someone else's story. That was a very popular book. And that's The Plot. And then there's another book called The Other Black Girl by Zakiya Dahlia Harris. And that was about what it was like to be it's also a light thriller. And it's what it's like to be this only black woman in the publishing office and what happens when there's one other woman. And instead of sort of bonding together, they see themselves as rivals.
Oh,
so which is something that happens, you know, in terms of, did you read Sharks in the Time of Saviors? It's interesting that he mentioned that book because when I was reading, it's a very different kind of book. But when I was reading Pieces of Blue, I was thinking about that, too, because they are not tourists or native Hawaiians. And in the Sharks in the Time of Saviors, which we read for our book club, he does try to write from the perspective of native Hawaiians. And it is a vision of Hawaii behind the scenes, you know, what it's what everyday people, it's a very expensive place to live. I'm sure you've heard that a lot of native Hawaiians have had to leave Hawaii because they can't afford to live there. There's actually, I don't know why I know this, but there's a huge settlement of native Hawaiians in Las Vegas.
Oh.
And so I was thinking about that. I was also thinking of the, and I blanked out, the HBO series that was the first season was set in Hawaii, but that also was about sort of appropriation and things. Anyway.
Buddy, thank you again for calling. I really appreciate it. Lance, in Pleasant Prairie, what's on your mind?
With all this fire smoke that's blowing down this way, I read a book, Beaverland, by Lila Phillip. Fascinating book, history of the beaver. But the bottom line is, if we would embrace beavers, they could mitigate this kind of thing because the landscape completely changes. When there's droughts, they're beneficial. They help prevent fires by providing wetlands. And I just feel like it's a book that people should read to be educated about beavers so we can help to save this planet with them.
Lance, thanks very much for calling.
Yeah, that was that book had some nice sales in winter and some really great reviews. Lila Phillips' Beaverland, it was definitely on my list to read, and now I'm shamed into saying I didn't read it. But, you know, all you need is, you know, the right ex-president to put it on their summer reading list, and we can make this a bestseller still.
Thank you, Lance. I appreciate the call and the comment, Beaverland. I think it's one that we were thinking of having the author on to talk on the show, as a matter of fact. Well, let's see. We've got The Mistress. Did we talk about The Mistress?
We didn't. I had two mysteries on here, Mistress of Batia House. So I was sort of – one of the things we were thinking about with mystery series is that I can talk about – how great the newest volume in the series is till the till some animal comes home, chickens or cows or something like that. But just so many people want to start with the first book. And so Sujata Massey's, actually, this is not the first series. She had another series before this. But her new book, which is the Praveen Mystery Series, which is set in 1920s, Bombay or Mumbai. She was the first woman lawyer and
in India, in
Mumbai, at least. Mm-hmm. And she's based on two real life people. And she is Zoroastrian. And so so that means she is neither of the this is pre partition. She is neither Hindu nor Muslim. But she is a woman. And so when because of observant both Hindus and Muslims, women would not really be able to talk to a male lawyer. She often is called in by her father, who she works for, even though she wasn't able to get a law degree in India because she had to go to England to do that. So, but she can be part of these sort of cases that she's. I love the books. Massey really captures the political times. This new book is about fundraising for a women's hospital and what happens when a servant is accused of taking an abortion drug.
Oh, well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. We've got lots more books to talk about with our guest today, Daniel Golden of Boswell Book Company. But first, a look at the news, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. And then we'll be back with Daniel. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, and we are talking about great summer reads with our guest today, Daniel Golden, with us once again. It's always great to have him come by. He is the owner of Boswell Book Company in Milwaukee. And if you have a book to recommend, I hope you'll join in, or a question about Daniel or Boswell Books, certainly join in at 800-642-1234. You can email us to ideas@wpr.org. And Claire had emailed to recommend a new graphic novel for middle schoolers and adults, one of those combinations. She loved it. It's called School Trip by Jerry Craft, third in a series after New Kid and Class Act were the first two. It's about trying to fit in middle school through the eyes of a few black students in a mainly white private school.
Wonderful series. Has won a number of awards. One of my booksellers, Tim, is a big fan of the Jerry Craft books too, and they are they're graphic. She said they're graphic novels, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For kids. Yeah.
Next book I wanted to mention before we go to the phones again is Fifth Avenue Glamour Girl by Renee Rosen.
So we have been talking about historical fiction. This is Renee Rosen is a classic historical fiction writer. You can tell like her quotes are from like Christy Woodson Harvey, whatever. So she takes a particular person or iconic movement or place. Like first she did Chicago. She had a book about the Chicago Tribune, a book about Chess Records. And then she started doing New York. She wrote a book about Helen Gurley Brown, which I really liked. This is the
Estee Lauder.
Estee Lauder, the makeup queen, and how she was able to build her fortune. It's through the eyes of a young woman who is working in a hair salon, and Esty comes in to sell her products. That's the way she's going. Thinks she's going to make it big by doing these demos at hair salons, you know, to get people. And she's pretty successful, but she's never going to make it because the stuff looks sort of homemade. And as we're hearing the story, we go back to Estee Lauder's life. She is complete reinvention. She's changed her name, which we've come across before in my talks. And in fact, the woman who's telling the story, Gloria. She's also kind of reinvented herself because she's from a wealthy, disgraced family, which also ties into some of the other books. And the book story is, how is Estee Lauder going to get into Saks, basically, is the story. The book is very much about reinvention. Many of the characters are using artifice and effectively makeup to rewrite their own stories. I love the way Renee Rosen puts like an every person into these larger than life characters. And that's this Gloria who, guess what, winds up becoming a buyer for Saks. it's really fun. She has so much historical detail. It is fiction, so there's lots of things that are made up. But what I love, if you can ever get a chance to see Renee, she lives in Chicago. She does a lot of, like Ryan Straddle, she does a lot of programs in the area. She does a wonderful presentation on the nonfiction elements in her fictional story.
Oh,
I love them.
Oh. So. Joanne in Mount Pleasant has a suggestion for us, I believe. Let's go there. Joanne, hi.
Hi. I just read a book by a young Wisconsin author from Kohler, Wisconsin, who had a fellowship to Zambia, a Fulbright scholarship, I should say. And he met this woman who is making a difference. She had nothing, but she's starting a school. She has started a school in Zambia in the backcountry. And how many children she's educating now to read and, you know, just to have a better life. And she's adopted several, I think, 8 children. It's a delightful book, and it's a true story, and it's by someone in Wisconsin that wrote it, that was there, that was so impressed. And I've given it to a lot of friends because I bought some copies, and they all loved it.
It's titled Under a Zambian Tree.
Under a Zambian Tree by Joseph Schmidt.
All right. So another Wisconsin author, Under a Zambian Tree. That's
interesting, very interesting.
Very interesting. Joanne, thanks very much for that. One of the things that we like to do on this show is feature Wisconsin authors whenever we can. And or we feature stories of at least Midwest authors at the least. And we like to have stories that are set in Wisconsin as well. So it's either a Wisconsin author or a non-Wisconsin author who might have lived here, but and sets the story in the state. So Joanne, thank you for that. Under a Zambian Tree. Well, there's another book that you have on the on your recommendation list that it has an interesting title. Farrell Covington?
Oh, Farrell Covington and the Limits of Style. Yeah. So this is a very charming sort of friendship novel that is about sort of an every person, Nate Reminger from New Jersey, and who befriends this, I don't know why I'm so focused on extreme wealth and the problems it causes, a wealthy man that he meets in college. I think it's one of the 2 books that has a lot of Yale in it too. And he's kind of this larger than life character who is a openly gay man in a time period where you don't see a lot of that. I think the book starts in the 70s, and they wind up having this very intense friendship and love affair, and it travels through any possible thing that can happen to them, crazy does. It's great for people who like Stephen Rowley's The Celebrants, which was just a Rewa Jenna book, or The Gunkle, which was a very popular word-of-mouth bestseller. And Paul Rudnick, the writer, he's best known for a number of things. He writes columns for The New Yorker. He had fake film reviews under a woman's name, Libby Gelman-Waxter. But his story, what there's a couple of things that are really interesting. One, the book seems like a crazy comedy. It almost reminded me of P.G. Wodehouse or, you know, the Jeeves books or something in you know, with Nate being the butler, I guess, or something like that. But it winds up becoming a very interesting story about the journey of LGBTQ people over the second half of the 20th century, in particular, a gay man. And the other thing is that Paul Rudnick sort of tells his life story through a funhouse lens. What people may not know about him is he was a very successful playwright. He had a play called I Hate Hamlet. He had a very popular play called Jeffrey. He had a movie called In and Out with Kevin Kline that people know. He actually did the original work on Sister Act, the Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah.
And so all these things are in the book, but they have, they're like fractured. Like they're not, he's a fictional person. And like, you can go through the book and say, oh, I know what that is. I know what that is. So he's sort of telling his story, but crazy, larger than life, silly. So, so I thought it was wonderful. And I thought it's very, very, very funny, but it's also deeply moving by the end of it.
Bob and Greenleaf wanted to recommend The Books of Jacob by Olga Tokarczuk, I believe, Polish writer. And the book is set in the middle 18th century when new ideas and a new unrest begin to sweep the continent. The main character is a young Jew of mysterious origins who arrives in a village in Poland. And it sort of follows his travels and is apparently based on a real person. It's called The Books of Jacob.
She won the Nobel Prize. And I will note that the one thing we haven't said is it is 1,000 pages. So maybe you should set aside your whole summer. But it's a wonderful, you know, it was an amazingly well-reviewed book. I actually did, this is one of those authors where I said, well, I want to read something by her. So we had our book club. When I have a challenge, I say to the book club I run, it's like, guess what we're reading, because I think I need to read this. But I decided this was, I can only get one long book a year, and this hadn't come out yet. Talked about Flights, and really the sales rep said to me, so I don't think you can handle Flights. Why don't you start with Drive Your Plow Over the Bones of the Dead and see how that goes, because it's sort of a psychological suspense. It has the most grounded in a plot. And we did enjoy it, but it was a challenge. So let me just say, when I retire, I might read The Books of Jacob. But for a lot of you, I think it's a worthy book to read.
Michael emailed to recommend Small Mercies by Dennis Lehane. He also wanted to savor. He says he wanted to savor it, but finished it in one day. It's an all-consuming tale of revenge, family love, fostering hate, and insidious power set against one of the most tumultuous episodes in Boston's history, Small Mercies.
Yeah. Lehane was doing some historical fiction more, and this is one of his classic thrillers. He is considered one of the, you know, he's at the top of the genre, as we say. And you know who he likes? S.A. Cosby. He gave him a quote.
Oh.
So,
Kathy emailed to put a plug in for David Carlson's mystery series. He's a summer resident in Forest County, and her husband, the Christopher Worthy Fisher Fortis series, pairs a Greek Orthodox monk with a detective from Detroit, and they solve murders in various locations, including the Upper Peninsula, New Mexico, Venice, Italy, Rome, and Jerusalem. Book 8 in the series is out this fall. Book 1 is called Enter by the Narrow Gate.
Yeah, I see Caught in the Snare of the Hunter. That must be the last one.
That must be the last one. Right. And Ellen emailed that she read a book that she thought was fascinating. It was Cloud Cuckoo Land by Anthony Doerr.
Yes, yes, yes. A wonderful book. He's the man who wrote, which maybe you read, All the Light We Cannot See?
Yes.
Yeah. So this was his, I think we've even talked about it. Yeah. So it's a book that's set in the middle ages, in the present and in the future on a rocket. So it's all connected by this lost myth, like a lost.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
And one that we had Dan Egan on the show for the Devil's Element, and that's on your list, and I can see why it would be.
Yeah, no, it was a terrific and also a local Wisconsin writer, and people really loved The Death and Life of the Great Lakes, and I think they understood what they don't probably – I don't think people understand the issues we have with phosphorus, but it is
an eye opener.
Yeah, it is the mineral that we don't have enough of and have too much of.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a fascinating story.
I thought it was great. He's a good storyteller. He wasn't able to do as much field work because he wrote it during COVID, but he has some, you know.
So many authors this past year who wrote their books during COVID.
And so many COVID novels. So the next Ann Patchett book, Tom Lake, is coming out on August 1st. And that is her COVID novel. It is actually more about, it's set in Michigan, and it's more about theater and farming. But it is about what happens when this farming family gets, you know, the kids who've kind of left have to come back. And the mom sort of reveals her past as an actress.
What about When in Rome?
Well, we're speaking of Wisconsin writers. I think we have a great one here in Liam Callanan. His last book, Paris by the Book, was about a woman who takes over a bookstore in Paris. And it was very romantic. And we love books about bookstores and we love books about Paris. This is a little different, but maybe almost core to Liam. It's about another woman. She is in her 50s and she is a real estate agent. And she is called on to sell the nuns live, convent. I was like, covenant? No, that's a promise. Convent. And she realizes that she doesn't really, you know, they're going to develop it or something. It's not going to go well. But she finds out if they can just get one more nun, because they went down below their minimum. If they can get just one more nun, they can save it. And the fact is, she was raised by nuns in Milwaukee, and so she left she was a novitiate, and she left in college, and she starts thinking about the decision she made and whether she should come back. At the same time, the guy from her past, from college, also sort of comes back to help her. Let me just say, Liam, I don't think there's such a storied history of literary books dealing with Catholic themes, and it's really sort of fallen out of favor, and I think that Liam really continues that. I think it's a very warm and interesting book about faith, but the other thing that people will love about this book is it's so romantic about Rome. And like I said, there's so much about Paris, and there are stories about Italy, but they don't really focus on the cities. It's always in the countryside.
Yeah.
And this is a very urban book. And all I want to say is I heard that when the editor finished editing this book, she took her honeymoon in Rome. And that's what this book makes you want to do. Like, you can't not. I don't go anywhere, but if you do travel, you will want to go to Rome after you read this book.
What about Rocky Mountain High?
Well, or maybe you'll go to Boulder and start a pot farm. I don't know. Could go either way. So I really liked Finn Murphy's first memoir called Long Haul, which was about being a trucker. It almost had a Matthew Desmond Evicted sort of quality. Like he was talking about the plight of the working class and told his story. Like each chapter was about a different move. He would move. It was the person who comes in to move your stuff across the country. And what he kept hinting about, he said, well, because he's a mover, and then he isn't a mover, and then he's a mover. But he doesn't tell you what he did in between. And he said, well, I'm saving that for another book. So that was Rocky Mountain High. And he decides to get – he's actually had a lot of he's a serial entrepreneur. Apparently, he imported a whole mess of Fair Isle sweaters over in his day. But he decides he's going to get into the pot business. And he's so he moved to Boulder, and he sees that there's so much opportunity. There's so much money to be made. And so he decides he's going to be part of it. He realizes too many people growing, but maybe if he's the middle person and he opens a drying business. Let me just say, anything that's possible can go wrong, goes wrong. But this is a fascinating book for entrepreneurs because it was really one of the most interesting business books I've read. I mean, it's a memoir. There was a book like this called Mr. China years ago that became almost a cult classic. And it's about the rush to do business in China and all the things that go wrong in it. And he's got a very good writing style, good sense of humor. He's a smart guy. And I think for somebody who really wants to understand what exactly is going on in this rush to do, and you've probably, if you follow newspapers, you know that things are not always as rosy as you think they're going to be. So.
Well, we have just a couple left and we're running short on time. Intrigue in Istanbul.
Yes, we were talking about mystery series and how difficult it is to start people at the beginning. So this is the fourth book from Erica Ruth Neubauer for her Jane Wonderly series. You're never going to guess what decade it's set in. It's the 1920s. And what Erica Ruth tried to do is have sort of a Masterpiece Theater, old-fashioned sort of mystery series. It's about a young woman who has left a bad marriage and is traveling with her aunt. In this book, most of them are locked room mysteries. This book is actually almost an homage to Indiana Jones, which is why I included it. Her father, who is an archaeologist, has put the house into debt and has disappeared. And she learns that he's trying to chase some. He's got a hint that in Turkey, he has this ability to find this jewel that's going to save him. So the Sultan's Heart, I believe it's called. And so she and her boyfriend, Redvers, go off with Aunt Millie, of course, go off and chase him. And so it's more of a adventure quest than a mystery. There is a mystery in it as well. But as I've said, you're all probably start at number one, which is Murder at the Mina House, which is very entertaining. One of the things that mystery writers like, it almost becomes a drug because once you get a series, it's really hard to jump away from it, but it's also hard to leave the publisher because, once again, nobody wants to take on your mystery series in the middle because everybody's going back and reading number one that you don't have the rights to. I do believe that that Erica Ruth has written a standalone, so maybe we'll see that coming. It's a very different kind of book, I'm told. So.
Well, in our last one, and here we are out of time, but it's The Museum of Ordinary People by Mike Gale.
I really enjoyed this book. It's the follow-up to a book called All the Lonely People. He's written like 20 books or so, but they don't all come out in the United States. This is about a young woman who has to give up one of her possessions and finds a warehouse that'll take it. And it turns out they're running a museum exhibit and she takes it on when the guy dies.
Daniel, it is such a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so much. Daniel Golden, our guest today. You're in Milwaukee, or actually you can just go online to Boswell Book Company, but if you're in Milwaukee.
We're there. Or you visit your favorite bookstore in Wisconsin.
Daniel will be back, I'm hoping, and will be with us again. Thank you so much for listening, and please stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.